You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
What is good with you on this Wednesday? Wednesday, thank God it's Wednesday. He is Chad Brown. I'm Freddie Coleman. Both of us in for Mike Greenberg on Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. And don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Can't wait to hear what you have to say about Reggie Bush as part of a decision on Wednesday. The Heisman Trust is returning the Heisman Trophy to Reggie Bush and a replica to USC, and he'll be invited to all future Heisman Trophy ceremonies beginning later on this year. We can't wait to hear what he had to say at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. By the way, the trophy, Chad, was presented to Reggie Bush at a ceremony at the Heisman Summit in Florida this morning. Eric Crouch told Paul Papps on the Dan Patrick Show that the Heisman winners in attendance had no idea what was going to happen until it actually happened. So it's pretty cool that they had something like that. They kept it under wraps and made sure that, okay, if we're going to do this, we're going to make sure we're going to do this, and we're going to have the pomp and circumstance that we know is going to happen, and a lot of people have reactions to it. So it's pretty cool they did it that way, to say, Reggie Bush, we're sorry. We shouldn't have taken it from you. We're sorry. We didn't mean it. We were pressured. We ran out of fresh jars. Our car didn't have any gas. We're sorry. They made that sorry worthwhile for Reggie Bush to get a Heisman Trophy returned to him in front of all those Heisman Trophy winners in attendance at a ceremony today in Ponte Verde, Florida.
I'm happy for Reggie Bush. I'm happy that the Heisman Trophy has made the committee has made the right pick here to give him that trophy back. Do you honestly think that Matt Leinart the year before in 2004, that Carson Palmer in 2002, both guys who went to USC, the exact same place where Reggie Bush went, that they did not get any kind of compensation for their time when they were on campus? Seriously, I mean, are we going to turn a blind eye to some of these most obvious things here that somehow Reggie Bush was the only Heisman Trophy winner to get illegal payments or family to benefit in illegal ways?
Right.
It's absurd on its face. So I'm happy that he has it back, and we are recognizing not only the lay of the land today has changed our perspective on those things, but also acknowledging the truth of what happened back in those days as well.
By the way, the Heisman Trophy on their Twitter handle at Heisman Trophy, they tweeted an hour ago, welcome home, meaning Reggie Bush and the Heisman Trophy and a replica going to USC Athletics. Now they have 8 Heisman Trophy winners. They used to have 8 Heisman Trophy winners. Now they have 8 Heisman Trophy winners once again. But what do you have to say about this? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Reggie Bush getting the Heisman Trophy that he won back in 2005. He's getting it back. ESPN has learned that the Heisman Trust announcing on Wednesday a formal reinstatement in what it calls enormous changes in the college football landscape. What they meant by that was fundamental change in college athletics in which rules that have allowed student-athlete compensation to become an accepted practice and appears here to stay. They said it was part of a deliberative process by the Heisman Trust to monitor a sea change in today's athletics when it comes to big-time colleges. Lee in Charleston, South Carolina, 888-729-3776. Lee, do we have to say about Reggie Bush? Less we have to say about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back.
Well, first off, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So here's my thing. I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate on this because I don't have an opinion one way or the other as far as him getting it back. But I guess I wonder where we draw the line on resetting the rules. You know, obviously at the time they felt the rules broken, and that's why it was taken away from him. Now we've hit the reset button. But how far do we go with the reset button? Because you had previously in a previous segment talked about, you know, the banners at Michigan. Well, when do we start talking about taking a look at records that are broken?
Sure.
Because we just had one broken this year, which was very impressive by Caitlin Clark. However, if we take a step back and then we look at Pete Maravich at LSU, he didn't have the 3-point shot, I don't believe. And so now if you take a look at, okay, how many shots did he make that would have qualified for that, would he still be the all-time points leader? And I'm just looking for, you know, where do we draw the line in the sand when we talk about rewriting history and rewriting the records and things like that? And I'm going to get off so that you guys can respond. Thank you very much.
Lesson, Charleston, South Carolina, by the way. Charleston, South Carolina, fantastic city. If you've never been, do so. This PSA from Freddie Coleman and Chad Brown and Greeny on Mike Greenberg on ESPN Radio.
Co-signed. But, yeah, co-signed for sure.
Oh, no question. But Les brings up a great point because I know if I'm Barry Bonds, I'm raising my hand. If I'm Pete Rose, I'm raising my hand. You mentioned Jim Tressel, the coach of Ohio State, who lost his job because of somebody else's transgressions. Mm-hmm. Les is spot on by saying, okay, where does the line get drawn now that this line has shifted regarding Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back from the Heisman Trust?
I think the Pete Maravich revisionist history probably is not going to happen. The three-point shot simply did not exist then. And so when we start looking at 14 games versus 16 games versus 17 games in the NFL and records and all that, those are always just so difficult because it's not like our perspective has changed. The actual number of games, the actual rules within the game have changed.
Right.
I mean, how far do we go back with baseball records? And do we start including Negro League records into Major League Baseball records? I mean, so it is a massive can of worms once we start applying revisionist history to things. But for the Heisman Trophy Committee to right this particular wrong, it feels right. And it's going to be up to every other individual committee or body to figure out what they want to do. I think Les brings up a great point, but I don't expect anybody to go back and apply the three-point rule to Pete Maravich's scoring back way back then. That's just simply not going to happen.
But someone is going to raise that question.
Yes.
Because that's why Les brought it up, and I think it's a fair point why Les brought it up, because there's going to be somebody out there or somebodies out there that'll say, oh, well, trying to play revisionist history based on the fact that the Heisman Trust used today's times, why they decided to give Reggie Bush his Heisman Trophy back in 2005. Whether you think it's right or it's wrong, that's the part that I've circled, because they said in a statement they monitored a sea change in college athletics in recent years, and the Trust cited fundamental changes in college athletics in which rules that have allowed student-athlete compensation to become an accepted practice and appears here to stay. That wasn't the case in 2005. That's why he had the Heisman Trophy taken away from him, because NIL and transfer portal weren't part of the landscape when it comes to college athletics. I think the Heisman Trust didn't do themselves any favors by putting that out there. They should have just said, we're sorry. We're sorry, and moved on from it. And everybody would have said, finally, congratulations, stand up. This was a wrong that should not have happened to Reggie Bush. When you try to attach today's times to a yesterday decision, that just opens up another Pandora's box regarding the Heisman Trust, in my opinion, just making that decision.
I think I would just respectfully view it through a different lens. We it's okay to change your mind. It's okay to look at things through a different lens. In this case, the sea change has not been like small, where athletes are now given a $50 a month stipend. Yeah. There are people who make millions and millions of dollars. And to acknowledge the same situation that Reggie Bush finds himself in, that today's college football players find themselves in, and to acknowledge the reality of that, and also to really pay homage to what was the truth even back then, as much as it was tried to be kept undercover, as much as we swept it under the rug, that was still true back then as well. It's just a correcting of the record in my mind.
I completely hear you on that one, but the Heisman Trust with that statement, boy, did you open up another Pandora's box by putting that out there. Great stuff by Chad Brown, along with me, Freddie Coleman, and for Mike Greenberg on Greeny on ESPN Radio. Keep wanging about this, about Reggie Bush getting Heisman Trophy back. Let us know on Twitter, ChadBrown94, Chad's handle, my handle, Coleman ESPN, like Michael Wilson, who says Major League Baseball and the Hall of Fame should follow the lead of Heisman Trust and put players in the Hall of Fame. Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa saved the game of baseball after the strike in a time when baseball knew what was happening, and not all Hall of Famers are squeaky clean.
I got to jump in on that point.
Yeah, because
I don't think that's the same thing, because
don't shoot the messenger. I'm just saying what Michael Wilson said. Don't shoot the messenger here.
I'm shooting the message, not the messenger. Sorry.
Yes.
The word accepted practices was used to return Reggie Bush's Heisman to him. Steroids are not publicly used in baseball and are not widespread and accepted. If that were the case, then Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Rafael Palmeiro, all those guys would have a bone to pick. But right. It's not like steroids are widely used and accepted now. If they were, then we would look at it differently. Yes, they saved the sport, and Barry Bonds wasn't the only one doing it. Mm-hmm. But it's not like it's commonplace now, like these NIL rules are now in college football, that allowed us to look back on Reggie Bush in a new light.
It's one thing to do something that's maybe outside the rules, quite another to do something that interferes with the integrity of the game. And mm-hmm. the steroid error interfered with the integrity of the game. So I view that very similar to Cam. It's a very, very different situation.
Yeah, the only good thing about that was Jose Canseco, best batting average ever. He named eight names in the book. All eight were found to be guilty of using steroids. That is the best batting average ever. Better than Ty Cobb, better than Pete Rose, better than anybody else. If you missed any of Hashtag Greeny, catch up on both hours of the show by doing that in the Greeny Podcast, available daily wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the corner, Turner sends it back outside. From there, Neesmith with a terrific pass into the lane, a left-hand layup from Siakam.
They always say, like, playoffs don't start till, you know, series don't start till as a road win, so we got that, so I guess it started.
So now they really need Giannis. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, right? And they won one series with the Indiana Pacers after they shot the blood out of the basketball, meaning the Pacers last night winning game two in Milwaukee. Chad Brown, Freddie Coleman together, and for Mike Greenberg on Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And it's not that they won 125-108. It's not that Pascal Siakam, again, tortured this basketball team last night. How about a pickup at the trading deadline that has been gangbusters for a basketball team? That has been Pascal Siakam, what he's been able to do for the Indiana Pacers. But Damian Lillard ran out of gas. He was tremendous in game one, 35 points in the first half. They ran away and hit from Indiana. Last night, he had 26 points in the first half. He scored 61 points in the first half of the first two games of the playoffs versus Indiana. But in the second half, he's been yuck and poo. Only 8 points, 3 of 14 from the field, or 3 from the three-point line of last night, or 5 from the field in the fourth quarter. They said that Giannis is ramping up. Maybe game three or game four. That's when we need to see the reappearance, or should I say the appearance of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chad, in this series. Because Damian Lillard's running out of gas, and they don't have enough other guys to step up now that Indiana has been able to find their groove.
No, they don't. And so clearly Dame Lillard needs some help out there, particularly in the second half. The Bucks were outscored every quarter last night.
Mm-hmm.
Every quarter. So in my mind, that means you were just simply not competitive, as evidenced by the final score in that game. The need for Giannis back on the court is just clear. Now, I know this is not football, and I always look at life through a football lens.
Right.
So football players, any way possible, spit, tape, glue, injection, whatever it takes to get me back on the field, I am willing to do. Giannis is going to need to get some spit, some tape, some glue, maybe an injection, get up out there on that court for the Bucks, because this Pacers team has found something in defending Dame Lillard, particularly in the second half, that there needs to be another option on the floor for the Bucks to have a chance in this series.
Yeah, because Bobby Portis, I know he can be that option, maybe for a game, but not in the series. And I love Bobby Portis. I love me some crazy eyes, the way he brings that attitude and talent to the Milwaukee Bucks. But that's asking a lot of him, Pat Connaughton, all those guys that are not Giannis Antetokounmpo, because that's why Damian Lillard was brought there, to reduce that load on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Because Tyrese Haliburton, the other side, he's getting contributions from everybody. When you have a point guard that was the elite point guard he was last night, that didn't have to lead the team in points, rebounds, assists, and everything like that, because Pascal Siakam, Miles Turner, they were doing their thing. Although somebody's got to help me with Tyrese Haliburton. That has nothing to do with basketball. Not too many people can change voices while speaking on winning a game. Take a listen.
Yeah, I'm expecting it to be unbelievable. No doubt about that. I mean, we've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games. We expect a great crowd. A lot of people are excited about what's to come, you know, in the series. And, you know, just the energy in the city right now with everything that's going on, but especially with us. So, you know, we're excited, you know, to go.
Now, my voice changed when I was 12 years of age, but that took about 5 days. His voice changed within 13 seconds. I don't know what that was.
If I hadn't heard it before, I would have said that was a doctored clip. I would have been convinced that was a doctored clip. It seems like it's impossible to change literally from one word to the next. I've never heard anything else like that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been around some unusual people in locker rooms over the years. Never have I met a voice changer.
Right. Hold on a second. I got to ask this. Who's the most unusual player you around in the locker room? We're on this now. I want to hear this answer.
Oh, my goodness. There's just been so many characters. I had a teammate who bought a dolphin, a marine mammal. He bought a dolphin. So I've been around some crazy dudes before.
I didn't realize Ace Ventura was part of your football team. That's not Snowflake. That's not Snowflake.
Was that Neil O'Donnell?
It was not Neil O'Donnell, no.
Wait. That's a random name to throw out there, Neil O'Donnell. Buying a dolphin? Really? That's a random one.
He played on the Super Bowl team.
He did, but okay. It was a non-Super Bowl team. This was Corin Robinson.
Okay.
With the Seattle Seahawks. He was a ninth or tenth pick in the first round. Uh-huh. Out here, wide receiver from North Carolina State.
Right.
He bought a dolphin, and it was housed on campus at North Carolina State. I couldn't believe it. Now, you guys know I'm the guy who you know, breeds reptiles and has reptile businesses.
Yep.
So I'm used to unusual animal purchases.
Uh-huh.
And Larry Allen, the Hall of Fame guard for the Dallas Cowboys, he owned a rhino and kept it on his ranch in Central California.
What?
So there's been unusual animals, again, have been part of the NFL, but never a dolphin before that, as long as I've been aware of players and animals. This is the first dolphin purchase I've ever been aware of.
Most players would rather go up against a rhino than Larry Allen.
True.
It's true. Yes, it's true.
Actual and factual. No question about that.
And it has been documented on this show when I've talked about Larry Allen crunching me before.
Yep.
Yes.
Chad will take the rhino.
How do you wake up one morning and say, I'm in the mood for dolphin today. I'm going to buy one. Most people wake up, I want coffee, I want cereal, you know, I'm going to get a workout in. He woke up Corin Robinson one day and said, you know what? I'm going to purchase a dolphin, and no one's going to stop me. And as it turned out, he turned out to be right. The more I know, the less I understand. Speaking of Cam Pratt, you just heard from Cam Pratt. He gave us trivia question number one last hour that Chad Brown knocked out of the park. It was the three quarterbacks that were drafted number one overall that wound up being offensive player of the year. And Chad Brown says, take a step back, Bubba. Take a step back, Freddie. I got it. He nailed it. Sam Bradford for the Rams, Cam Newton for the Carolina Panthers, and Kyler Murray, the Arizona Cardinals. So now we got sneaky Cam trivia question number two.
Yep, we're going to the NBA. Pascal Siakam, 73 points in the last two games for the Pacers. Uh-huh. That's third all-time for most points scored in a player's first two playoff games with a franchise. Who is first on that list? So first two playoff games with a franchise, the most points of all time.
Oh, we're definitely going to have to put our heads together for this one. So
definitely.
We'll have our answer. Bubba and Chad Brown and Freddie going to try to make sure we can answer sneaky camp trivia question number two like we did the last hour. The answer is next on Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
He is Chad Brown. I'm Freddie Coleman. Together in for Mike Greenberg. Appreciate you joining us on Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. And don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Why Jerry Jones gave another reason yesterday that he would be the worst greeting card writer ever. We're going to do that in about a couple of minutes. But we bring back in Cam Pratt, a little sneaky Cam trivia part two. Now, we got the one last hour correct. What should I say? Chad Brown got it correct. It was the three quarterbacks that were drafted number one overall that wanted to be an offensive player of the year, offensive rookie of the year. And Chad Brown said, oh, Sam Bradford, Cam Newton, as well as Kyler Murray. Ding, 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 ding. So he got that right. But this one has proven to be a bit more difficult, courtesy of Sneaky Cam Pratt in a trivia question.
Pascal Siakam, huge first two games for the Pacers, 73 points in those two games. That's third for most points scored in a player's first two playoff games with a franchise. So you, Bubba, and Chad are each going to give me three individual answers. Okay. Who is first on that list? The most points scored in a player's first two playoff games with a franchise. It can be a rookie, someone who was traded. Just has to be their first two games with that franchise in the playoffs.
Okay. For me, it's Bernard King of the New York Knicks. I'm pretty confident in that one. When they played against the Detroit Pistons, I'm pretty confident in that one.
Chad, you got an answer?
Yeah, I was going to go with Magic because I know he put up 40-plus in that finals game where he had to play center because Kareem was out. But that was in the finals. The first two playoff games, I think I'm going to go with Wilt because Wilt put up such phenomenal numbers. They just blow your mind even today when you look back and reference his career.
All right, Bubba.
I'm going to go with Shaq.
Okay.
Okay.
Three good ones.
Three different answers.
So what is one of you
is right.
Okay. Uh-oh.
The correct answer is Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh! Nice, Bubba. Well done.
Shaquille O'Neal scored 76 points in his first two games with the Lakers in 1997 in two games against the Blazers.
Nice.
46 in game one, 30 in game two. Second is George Mikan with the Lakers.
George Mikan, wow. Deep dive.
Ja Morant and Siakam both at 73 are third, and Luka Doncic is fifth with 70.
Okay. Wow. Have you heard of George Mikan before?
I know who George Mikan is.
I figured. I can't say
I've seen any of his highlights, really. But
I don't think, unless you got a hot tub time machine, that's the only way you're gonna see any highlights.
Sorry, I haven't listened to any of his highlights.
Wow, who said that? Who gave you that information? Well done, Cam Pratt. Just make everybody feel older than they already are when it comes to that. So we went two for two today when it comes to trivia answers. I say Bubba and Chad Brown went two for two.
Freddie,
and Freddie's just there. Satellite player was there along for the ride. We all get championship rings when it's all said and done.
It takes a village, Freddie. It takes a village, man.
Yes. Thankfully, I was part of that village and not on the outside looking in. Chad Brown, Freddie coming together in for Mike Greenberg, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. And now, speaking of somebody that loves attention, that craves attention, that always wants a spotlight, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner. Now, people wondered, what's going on between you and Dak Prescott? Why has not a deal gotten done? And Jerry Jones, like only Jerry Jones can say, basically put it out there by saying, something may be getting done soon, but
Dak has enjoyed in his career that we're proud of some of the best supporting cast that you could put around him. And to move forward, we're going to have to diminish that. That's a fact. That's the rules. And so that's our challenge and to make it work out. Dak, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, I can't even blink on that one. But we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action. It's called option. A lot of guys need to hand it off. First guy through the line. Another one will keep it another step, decide whether to pitch it or not. He'll decide whether to turn upfield with it. Then he's still got a pitch left. I've spent my life being an option quarterback. It'd be madness not to know that the contracts are ahead. I want to see a few more cards play.
I don't know what I just heard for the past 47 seconds from Jerry Jones about Dak Prescott, his future in the contract. I don't know if that's going to be Jerry Jones' new folk album. Where have all the flowers gone? Is Dak Prescott going to sign with our team? I don't know what's going on with Jerry Jones. I just know that he's never met a microphone that he did not want to speak or wax poetic into, no matter what that was for the past 47 seconds.
There's something like a southern poet inside of Jerry Jones that he wants to get out that all of us don't quite understand. Mm-hmm. I was watching SportsCenter last night, and my wife was kind of casually in the room, and they were showing some of those clips.
Yeah.
And my wife said, "What is he talking about?"
Thank you.
And I said, "I don't know. I don't think he knows."
And when your wife is saying that, and I'm not saying your wife does not know the NFL, because I'm sure she does. Married to an NFL player, you're going to learn that through osmosis. But if you can look at somebody and say, "What did I just hear?" when it comes to Jerry Jones, and you're not somebody that's played in the NFL or covered the NFL, that tells me all I need to know about the essence of Jerry Jones, the characteristics of Jerry Jones. That's why a lot of people are not convinced that this Dallas Cowboys team is ever going to win another Super Bowl, because Jerry wants to win it his way. Or Jerry wants to win it his way by saying it this way. Remember we did the all-in? He did that statement not too long ago, right?
Yep.
This is how I tripled down on that yesterday. And if you thought you were confused by what you heard about Dak Prescott and the future of him being a Dallas Cowboy.
We're very proud of our personnel, very proud of this roster. Okay. Very much think this roster, without knowing right now how much the rookies are going to contribute. Okay. We're very, very feel good about the promise of the team that we're going to have this year with this roster. We will have young players step up. No names that become names, because names have left, and so those guys have got to step up. You cannot play and run a team in the NFL without counting on this dynamic going on. So we're in an ambiguous business when it comes to projecting, but how do we feel about where we've been in this free agency? We feel great about what we've been in free agency. All in.
Really?
All in.
Really?
All in. Okay. We're all in with these young guys coming on. And we're all in with this draft.
You just heard the laughter in the background. I don't know who was it. Maybe it was the PR director from the Dallas Cowboys. Someone cut off Jerry's microphone, please.
I think that was Stephen Jones.
It was Stephen Jones.
Yeah. Oh,
it was his
son? I think he kind of groaned as he was saying it.
See, this is when you got to take the keys to the car away from Grandpa, because he's going to hit trees, houses, and potentially people. This is where we are right now with Jerry Jones. Where Stephen Jones, somebody's got to step in and say, "We need an intervention. We can't allow this guy to speak on stuff like that, where it sounds like gibberish from a guy that is one, if not the most powerful guy in the National Football League," Chad, when it comes to Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys.
All right, so the sound that we just heard is pretty remarkable. But when you watch the video as well, I don't know who convinced Jerry Jones that he should go blonde. That's one of my biggest questions that has come.
I haven't seen that one. Really?
So please, please do yourself a favor and watch that. If you want to keep yourself upgraded with injections or surgery or hair color, that's on you. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's something to be said for aging gracefully. And Jerry Jones is fighting that process, particularly with the blonde hair yesterday.
I did not see the video. I've only heard the audio, but maybe Jerry thinks he looks quite dashing as a blonde hair person. Maybe that's it. I have no idea. I can't wait to see the video now. I'm going to have to go back and see the video, because all I've heard is the audio, and that left me to put my head in my hands and shake my head from side to side. So if I see the video, what you just mentioned, Chad, and he's trying to keep the gray and highlight the gray to go away from the gray, just for men, whatever that is for Jerry Jones, I can't wait to see this now. I can't wait.
It's worth the time. You will not so much laugh with Stephen Jones.
Okay.
You'll be laughing at Jerry Jones.
Who's to say that Stephen Jones wasn't laughing at him?
This is also true.
Who's to say that? But here's the problem with Jerry Jones specifically, outside of what you just heard regarding Dak Prescott's future and also what they feel good about what they have not done in free agency, or the minimal moves they've had in free agency. The problem with Jerry Jones saying these things is because his team has made him a victim of their success when it comes to evaluating players. The Dallas Cowboys, as a scouting department, they have hit on some dudes. Not just the Micah Parsons of the world or the CeeDee Lambs, but De'Ron Bland. They hit on that guy. Look at the Cowboys roster, even the guys that they have lost, and the kind of roster they have, because their scouting department has been tremendous for the Dallas Cowboys hitting on these guys. So Jerry Jones is thinking, well, we're not worried about losing guys, because our scouting department is going to replace guys. We lost Tony Pollard, we'll find somebody else. We lost Ty Beattis at the center position, we'll find somebody else. that scouting department has been really, really good for the Dallas Cowboys. And that's why Jerry Jones went out there and got in touch with his inner, you know, Bob Dylan folk music album by saying the flowers are going to be good, the leaves are going to fall right, because he knows his scouting department, for lack of a better term, Chad, has always had his back, even though they have not won a championship since 1996.
Well, you just saved the best part for last. It ain't about winning scouting wars. You can be the scout department of the year every single year. It's about winning championships.
Amen.
And ultimately, that's what you will be judged by. So for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, the long, long time, decades long since championships, that's what we're judging you by. So while you can crow about your success, Jerry Jones, to a certain extent, in the end, it all falls flat because you guys have not won a championship.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, that is the standard by which the Cowboys are always going to be judged.
They should be judged by that. But the problem with Jerry Jones and what you just said is the fact that he does not adhere to that philosophy, especially when he is hell-bent on trying to win a Super Bowl the Jerry Jones way. That is his life obsession. And the more and more he keeps being obsessed by that, the more and more the Dallas Cowboys keep being a really good team in the regular season. And then when the playoffs roll around, they spit the bit and they're last in the Derby. And until Jerry Jones realizes that and cedes control to Stephen Jones, somebody else, it's just going to be the same old, same old. We're all in. We're all in. We're all in. We're all in. Usually the Cowboys, that means they're all out when it comes to winning a championship when it's on said and done. Could four quarterbacks be selected with the first four picks of the NFL draft? You can find out tomorrow, the 2024 NFL draft, live and in color right here on ESPN Radio, presented by ESPN Bet. First round coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern time on most ESPN radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. He is Chad Brown. Hit him on Twitter at ChadBrown94. I'm Freddie Coleman. Hit me on Twitter, ColemanESPN, together for Mike Greenberg on Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. You're going to get an inside look at the final days leading up to the draft from someone who was there and was a high pick not even a year ago. This is ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Greeny, the podcast.
And we'll find out who's going to be good enough tomorrow when it comes to the NFL draft in the first round, and we're going to talk a little bit about that right now. On Greeny, in for Mike Greenberg today, a Chad Brown and Freddie Coleman, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM and Channel 80. Don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Chad, many people believe six quarterbacks could go in the first round between Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix. I could see four, possibly five, but it shows exactly that if you don't believe you have one, with the kind of pedigree that these quarterbacks have going into tomorrow's draft, or if they're a day two draft choice, that shows exactly how many teams are saying, man, we got to be on the lookout for one in case we miss out on the guy. Then that can come back to haunt us for the next 10 to 12 years.
It's such an interesting thing because the quarterbacks who get taken later in the first round, now there's always going to be the Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jacksons, but there's also the Brandon Weedings of the world who get taken later in that first round.
Yeah.
So that's a tricky spot to be. You clearly, so many teams have passed on this guy and don't recognize that guy as a guy who can potentially be a franchise-type quarterback,
yet
you still pick that guy. So I think one of those six guys, maybe even two, will fall out of the first round, possibly.
Yeah.
Most likely being Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. But I think the first four will go in the top 10 without a doubt.
If I say who's the best quarterback on the Chad Brown mock draft board, who's the best quarterback in the draft according to you?
It's still Caleb Williams. We have spent so much time with this guy solidified as the number one guy. We're starting to now no longer talk about his attributes. We're trying to poke holes in all parts of his game.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that happens when the draft process is as publicized and as long as it is now in today's media landscape, where we have moved on past all the amazing, great things the kid has done, and now we're talking about all these other things. Still, I think he's in my mind, he's clearly the tops of this quarterback class.
Because we look at last year's quarterback draft and C.J. Stroud, many people wondered when the Carolina Panthers decided to take Bryce Young out of Alabama, and C.J. Stroud goes to the Houston Texans, and people are saying, well, we'll see about both of those guys, because there are definitely a lot more questions about Bryce Young than C.J. Stroud, but C.J. Stroud had his questions. But from day one, when he got out there, it was like, man, that guy's going to be good sooner than later. Yeah, he's going to be terrific sooner than later, and he just kept getting better and better and better. Even when they lost Tank Dell to that season-ending injury, it did not matter to C.J. Stroud. Well, all of a sudden, you looked up and said, man, that guy is closer to being elite. And we hate to say that. At least I hate to say that after 1 year. But in that playoff game against the Baltimore Ravens, he and that Texans team were not scared of that team. They fought them tooth and nail for the first 30 minutes. Then the better team won out. And I'm thinking, if he's like that after year one, and we know now that the Texans are not a dumpster fire organization, what kind of personnel will they be able to put around him to make him even better year two, year three, and year four?
I think year two is always the telling point for a young quarterback, because now every defensive coordinator in the league has had a chance to watch a whole offseason worth of tape on you.
Right.
And can you continue to do the things that you did well in year one when coordinators are doing everything they can to force you to play left-handed, to do the things that you don't do so well, to take away some of your most comfortable plays? So this is the year where your growth has to happen.
Yeah.
Most players make a big leap between year one and year two just because you become a professional at that point. But for these young quarterbacks, this is a pretty significant challenge, because it's not just you have to grow your own personal game. It's that people have dissected your game and have found all your weaknesses and are trying to find ways to pull those out.
And especially when the Houston Texans hit on back-to-back picks, C.J. Stroud at number two. Then they trade him, they get Will Anderson Jr. at number three. Not too many people can hit on two guys in the same draft. They hit on two first-rounders in back-to-back picks when it comes to C.J. Stroud, the quarterback, and then the defensive rookie of the year, Will Anderson Jr., Texas defensive end. He joins us here on Green and ESPN Radio. Chad Brown and Freddie coming in for Mike Greenberg. Always a pleasure, Will, to talk with you. Great follow on Twitter, by the way, at Will_Anderson28. And it's nice that when you become a star like you become, you get a chance to have partnerships coming your way, including a big-time one that you're a part of. What new partnership are you a part of that has you so excited as you get ready for year two in the NFL?
Yeah, I'm partnering with New Balance, and, you know, it's been great. You know, they support athletes on all levels, from youth to professional. You know, they embrace me on the field and off the field, so it's really been a blessing to be a part of this.
All right, Will, you know, my draft day was probably before you were even born. You were just drafted a year ago. So as you were preparing to hear your name called in the draft, what were those final days like leading up to it?
I'm not going to lie, it was a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of nervousness, just because, like, you don't know where you're going to go. You don't know, like, what type of team you're going to get to. Like, my biggest thing was just, man, I don't want to go to a team that, you know, they really don't want me, or the coach really don't like me, or something like that. So that was just my biggest concern, but it all worked out.
What does it say then? I read a great story on ESPN.com, how the Texans traded up to get you but did not show their cards. They did not show their hand. What did it mean to you when you found out that they specifically traded up to number three because they really wanted you after taking C.J. Stroud at number two?
Man, it meant everything. Like, I thank them all the time, because, like, I told my agent, Nicole, I was like, Nicole, I don't care what you got to do. tell the Texans I want to be there. Like, I have to be there. So when they came up and got me, man, it just was like just a blessing. You know what I'm saying? Like, from Nick to D'Amico to the McNair family, like, it just showed you like how much they really wanted me and how much they wanted to be a part of that, you know, organization. So for me, every day I'm coming in, you know, working, like, you know, because it's an opportunity. So I'm just very grateful for it.
You mentioned Nicole. Nicole Lynn is your agent, and she's become big time, like Will Anderson has been able to become. What has it been like being a part of the negotiation process, and you have not just a female, but a female of color representing you, Will?
Yeah, like, Nicole, she's a boss, and like, that's one of the reasons why I went with her, man. I mean, she always says, like, I'm like her little brother, so she always looks out for me. And she doesn't play when it comes to me. Like, she makes sure whatever I need, she's going to get it done, whatever deal it is, whatever my family needs, everything. Like, she's been consistent. She's been the same person she was when she first started trying to get me to join Clutch. And she just handled her business, man. And there's not a lot of people that can do and juggle what she juggles. So hats off to her. I'm super proud to be a part of her team and super happy for her to be a part of my family.
When you think about building a football team, you need certain cornerstone pieces. You need the edge guy. Houston Texans have you. You also need a quarterback. We got C.J. Stroud with the second pick in the draft last year. When did you know he was a special player and potentially one of the best in the league at his position?
I've been knowing C.J. since we were in our seniors of high school. I got a chance to meet him at the Adidas All-American game. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's the real deal. Because I never knew, like, much about him because – I didn't keep up with football and, like, other recruits like that. And then once we got into college and I started seeing him play even more, and I think it was his performance against Georgia our last year there. And that was my first time, like, really, really, really paying attention to him because I was watching the game, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I was like, bro, this dude is special. Like, this dude really can, like, lead a team. He's played great ball. And then when we got to training camp, and I just started to be around him more and just see how he acts, see his mentality, see how hard he works, how competitive he is, I said, oh, yeah, he wants to be the greatest to ever do it. And, of course, having the season that he had, like, you can just tell how bad he really wants, you know, how bad he really wants it. So the sky's the limit for CJ, man. I'm super proud of him, man. And he's been the exact same. Like, nothing has changed. He comes into the building the same way with that same mindset that he had last year.
The 2023 NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, Will Anderson Jr. of the Houston Texans, joining Freddie Coleman and Chad Brown on Greeny on ESPN Radio. Hit him on Twitter at Will_Anderson28. Going back to your agent, Nicole Lynn, and you mentioned trying to have her get you to the Houston Texans, and now you're part of this cornerstone because I believe the sky's the limit, Will, for you as well as your quarterback, C.J. Stroud. Why did you want to play for an organization that before last year, nobody wanted to go to play for the Houston Texans?
Yeah, so it was crazy because I was their first top 30 visit, and it was my first top 30 visit. And when I got there, I could just feel the vibe in the facility. Like, the people were nice. Coach D'Amico, I love his mentality. I love his playing style. I love what he preaches. I love what he's all about. He's just about hard work, preparation, doing things the right way. And he just wants the best for his players, and he loves his players, and he cares about his players. And then Nick, like, he cares about the organization. And they just bring the right people in there. And plus the guys in the locker room that, you know, really make up the whole organization, man. The guys is reaching out to all the rookies that got drafted. And it just says a lot about the type of people that they have in the building, what type of players they have in the building. And so, like, for me, that's what I'm all about. I'm about relationships and stuff like that and growing as a player and getting coached by, you know, the right people. And that's where I felt very confident for my game to be able to go like I wanted it to.
Obviously, Will, coming from Alabama and a Nick Saban-led team, I think the culture at Alabama was clearly well-established. D'Amico Ryans comes in, doesn't have that long-standing culture built up. Talk to us about the culture of the Houston Texans and what D'Amico Ryans has been able to instill in that locker room.
Yeah, I think he did a great job of knowing what our foundation was going to be and knowing what standard and what type of mentality we was going to have as a team. And it's just really just simple. It was just one word, and it's just swarm. And that's just having, you know, a special, relentless, you know, mindset, you know, the mentality to go out there and, you know, whatever happens, that's what we're going to fall back on. And if we losing or we down or something like that or something didn't go right, we got a turnover and all else fails, the only thing that we can go back to is everybody get back up and keep swarming. And I think that's what makes our place so special. And then just the type of character that, you know, he leads with, it rubs off on everybody in the building so that everybody can have great character, everybody can have great energy, and it's just contagious.
Real quick, Will. Are you sure you're only 22 years of age?
Yes.
because you have a wisdom beyond your years. Real quick, where does that come from?
I would just probably just say my parents and my grandmother who passed. Betty, she raised me, you know, some of my life. And I guess just being around her and her old soul, I guess seeing how she did everything, she instilled a lot of her traits into me. And, you know, that's kind of who I am today.
Well, young man, keep on keeping on, man. We love watching you play. Like I said, I believe the sky's only the limit for you. Well, thanks so much. Enjoy the NFL draft in the offseason, and we'll take care. And I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate y'all.
Will Anderson, thanks, Will. Jr., Texas defensive end, defensive rookie of the year last year in the NFL. He's going to turn 23 in September, and he just has that wisdom, Chad, about him that you say, yeah, that's the kind of guy and kind of person I want representing my football team, Will Anderson, Jr., the Houston Texans.
Yeah, no surprise that the Houston Texans are successful with guys like him and C.J. Stroud leading the future of that organization.
No doubt about it. Hey, brother, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the draft tomorrow,
really
okay?
Good stuff. Thank you very much.
No doubt about that. Carlin versus Joe coming your way next for Chad Brown and Freddie Cohen. We've been in for Mike Greenberg. Thanks for joining us at Greeny on the mighty ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.